Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM, Port Huron.
Our Savior Luth, welcome to church this morning. For those of you on listening to us through radio, thank you very much. We're glad you're here. You can tune in to us at 1380 AM WPHM. Also, we have a podcast you can view at oursaviorlutheran.com or www.phm.net. 8:30 every Sunday. Thank you.
This morning, our worship is focused on Jesus, who protests human customs being given the weight of divine law, while the essence of God's law is ignored. True uncleanness comes not from external things, but from the intentions of the human heart. Last week, Jesus told us, "The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life," from John 6:63. Now, James says God has given us birth by the word of truth. We who are washed in the word, when we were born in the font, return to it every Sunday to ask God to create in us clean hearts. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We listen because he's near. In Jesus, the manna from heaven, you are fed and nourished. By Jesus, the worker of miracles, there is
than enough. Through Jesus, the bread of life, you are shown God's mercy. You are forgiven and loved into abundant life.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated as we hear how great is our God.
Indeed, how great is our God who has created all things. Nothing in all of the world that we know or see or experience comes to us but through the gracious hand of the Almighty Creator. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Pray with me, please. O God, our strength, without you, we are weak and wayward creatures. Protect us from all dangers that attack us from the outside, and cleanse us from all evil that arises from within ourselves, that we may be preserved through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 4, selected verses. The Israelites beloved the law, believed the law was a divine gift that provided guidelines for living out the covenant. Moses commands the people to obey the law and to neither add to nor subtract from it, the Israelites are also to teach the law to their children and their children's children. We begin the reading. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take away anything from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God, with which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this is a great nation. This is a great nation, is a wise and discerning people. For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children." This is the word of God and the word of life. Today's psalm of the day is Psalm 15 with the antiphon, "Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle?" Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill?
Those who lead a blameless life and do what is right, who speak the truth from their heart.
They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor.
In their sight, the wicked are rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health, and do not take back their word.
They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown.
Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle?
Second reading this morning is from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. The letter of James was intended to provide first century Christians with instruction in godly behavior. Here, Christians are encouraged to listen carefully and to act on what they hear, especially by caring for those least able to care for themselves. The reading begins. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us, by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves, and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Word of God, word of life.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel. And alleluia, a great prophet has risen among us. God has looked favorably upon us. Alleluia.
Glory to you, Lord.
Our gospel this morning comes from the gospel of St. Mark, the 7th chapter, various verses. Mark's gospel depicts Jesus as challenging traditional ways in which religious people determine what is pure or impure. For Jesus, the observance of religious practices cannot become a substitute for godly words or deeds that spring from a faithful heart. And so the reading. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked Jesus, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And Jesus said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." And then he called the crowd again, and he said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to Christ. You may be seated. And grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Listening to those children sing, "Near me, near us." What beautiful angelic voices were singing. Although I'm sure once they got out of church and out of the robes and back into their own families, their mom and dad would hardly agree that their angelic ways are well known around the household. I think our son was about 3.5 years old, and it had been a really tough day. My wife and I were both working outside the house, so when we came home at night, we were really anxious to show and spend some time with our kids, get them in their bath, and then get them in bed, because they had things the next day to do as well. Our son went to a preschool at 3, whatever they call those times, and our daughter went on to school, and so they needed to have their rest appropriately. So we did our traditional things. We had dinner, we played a while, we read books, we started quieting down, we got their baths, and then my wife and I both went in and laid with them for, she took our daughter and I took my son and went in and laid in their beds with them for a little bit and talked about the day and said prayers and quieted them down. I kissed my son Jonathan goodnight and went out into the living room just to have a quiet moment of conversation with my wife. And of course, to turn the boob tube on a little bit later on so that I could go numb from the workings of the day. And then I heard it. "Dad, I can't sleep." "Roll over, Jonathan, you'll be okay. You'll be able to go to sleep in a little bit." And all was quiet. "Dad, I can't go to sleep. Can you read me another story?" "No, you've already had a couple stories read to you, Jonathan. It's time to go to bed, so that you can grow up and be a big, strong man and do really well with your life." "Dad, can I have a glass of water? I'm thirsty." "Jonathan, you've had all the water you need. Just lay there, close your eyes, and think about your day and go to sleep. And if you call my name once more, I will come in, and you will wish I hadn't." And not 5 minutes later, "Pastor Hank," out of the mouth of babes, huh? It was out of the mouth of babes that God gave the law to his people, as Moses spoke the words of God, giving them out in the middle of the wilderness in our Deuteronomy lesson. God gave the commandments as an opportunity for his people to know who they were and what they were all about. He wanted them to feel safe and secure, just as my wife and I wanted to have our daughter and our son feel safe and secure, and we spent that time in the evening with them so that they would go off to bed. Now, there were those nights where we went in and turned the light on and looked in the closet to make sure there was no monster and there was no boogeyman under the bed, as the imaginations would carry forth with them. But here in our first lesson this morning, we see God opening up once again the ordinances and the way that he wanted God's people, his own people, to live. God gave the Ten Commandments and the law to the people to separate them out from everybody else, to set them apart. In Leviticus, God speaks, "Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy." Do you know what the word holy means? It means to be set apart from. How many of you have holy dishes still in your kitchen or in your dining room that are only brought out on those very special occasions? When I was young, I was the oldest, and I remember having to climb up first on the chair in the kitchen and then the stand with my mom holding on to my calves and reach into the top cupboard to bring out the holy dishes, so to speak, the holy relics that were only brought out at Christmas and Easter time because, well, they were her great-grandmother's or grandmother's dishes. And it was they were special and they were set apart for that. In the waters of baptism, as the waters were poured upon you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit came into you, taking up residence and filling your body with the joy of the Lord. God was setting you apart from all the rest of the world, so that as you would gather week in and week out, sometimes day in and day out, you would know the eternal promise of forgiveness and hope and life that God has for all of God's people. You know, the Israelites were the only ones that had a law that said, you get to take a day off, the Sabbath day. In their time and in their lives, in the cultures around all of the world, no one took a day off to go to church or to worship. Worship was done on your way home from work, where you would stop into the temple of the local god or goddess and you would do all the lascivious acts that were part of the worship, usually in a sexual nature. Or they would leave little bits of food along the way so that the gods and goddesses around them would treat them favorably. But it was not the opportunity to take a day and set up aside so that you could focus on the relationship that the Lord God had made with you, rescuing you and your family and your tradition and your heritage out of the bondage of slavery and bringing you into a land filled with milk and honey. The Israelites were the only ones that got a day off. Maybe the pastor pointed it out to you when you were in catechism umpteen years ago. The first three laws deal with our relationship between God and humanity. And the last seven deal with our relationship between one another and how we treat each other. It's incredible how mean people can be. It's incredible how spiteful we can be. I walked into the parlor one day of a church years ago where the women of my congregation were having Bible study. And I thought I would just stop in to visit and see where they were and what they were talking about and what they were doing. Boy, did I get an earful when I walked in that door. They were anywhere but near the Bible. They were gossiping and they were bemongering other folks and anyone and anybody that happened to fancy their dallies at that moment. In the church, with the Bibles open in front of them. What are we capable of? We live in a society that is so divided. Christian against Christian. We see part of the church today completely abandoning what the Word of God tells them to do. And they set up these walls between themselves and others who don't look like them, who don't speak like them, who don't act like them. And they call themselves the people of God. When God says, love one another as I have loved you. Paul to the Ephesians wrote, we are saved by grace through faith. And it's not of your own doing. It's a gift of God. And he goes on to say it's a gift of God so that our hearts would be filled with joy, knowing that my salvation and my life does not depend on me, but it depends on the love of God as God has demonstrated it for me upon the cross, sending his son to die, bleeding and broken, so that one day I could look at the cross and know how deep the Almighty Creator's love is for me. If you were the only one left upon the earth, Christ would still go to the cross for you. God, in his forbearance and in his wisdom, brings us into relationship with him so that we as the church can model the love of God for the sake of the world. Everything that we are called upon to be as the people of God, set apart from the worldly passions, points back to the one who has breathed life into our spirit. Everything that we speak and do and are about, we must remember, needs to point back, because the world doesn't point to Christ. The world points to this bunch of sin that Jesus speaks at the end of our lesson that nobody wants to talk about. Oftentimes, I think, when this lesson comes up and I read all about fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly, the folks in the pew are wiping their foreheads saying, thank God he's not talking about me. And we're listing all of the folks that fit those categories. James says, no wonder we don't remember what we look like in the mirror, because we're so busy pointing out the sins of others around us. You ever remember what, when you point your finger, one finger at somebody, you get three more pointing back at you, as long as you got your five fingers on your hand? I tried once to cut one of them off on the lawnmower. Thank God I didn't do that, so that I could remind myself of my own sinfulness and the need to turn to Christ always. And so do we. A teacher one day in middle school led her students into a study of the seven wonders of the world. At the end of the 7-week lesson, each week they talked for a little bit about one of the wonders of the world, the great accomplishments of humanity. She gave them a quiz, and she asked the students nothing more than to write down what they remember were the seven wonders of the world. Egypt's great pyramids, the Taj Mahal in India, the Grand Canyon of Arizona, the Panama Canal, the Empire State Building, St. Peter's Basilica, and the Great Wall of China. The seven wonders of the world are about the accomplishments of humanity. what we've been able to accomplish. As the teacher walked around collecting the papers and was glancing down to see what her students had written, she came to the desk of a young girl who just kind of covered up her paper and was flicking her pencil a little bit, thinking. And the teacher said, have you had enough time? Oh no, I just can't think of all of them. There's so many wonders. And she said, well, why don't you tell us what you've written on your paper that you have so many of them? And with a smile, she stood up and she read her paper and she said, I believe the seven wonders of the world are touch and the ability to hold a hand and feel someone else in yours. To taste and experience the variety of flavors that God has given for us to enjoy. To see and to look at the beauty and the wonder that has been created around us. To hear the beauty of a bird's song in the morning, or the whistle of a train going by in the far distance. Then she kind of looked down, almost embarrassed. But then she raised her head and she continued, I believe one of the wonders of the world is the ability to feel and to have love for another person and to experience their love for you. I believe that one of the wonders of the world is the ability to laugh and to feel the joy of the Spirit of God come within. A seventh grader writing these. And I believe a wonder of the world is just the ability to love all people freely and without exception. That day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to Jesus, pointing their fingers because his disciples weren't doing it right. And Jesus turned it back on them. And he said, it's not about doing it precisely to follow the traditions of humanity, to follow the traditions of men. But it's to know what motivates what you do. And what motivated that little girl was not the great accomplishments of humanity, but the wondrous accomplishments of God within the human soul. And that's what we're about. Living out those powerful accomplishments of the living God. Knowing that we're not going to do it all the time. But when we do, it's wondrous. And when we don't, we know we can come here and God will clean our slate as we confess our sin and open our hearts to the wondrous love of God for the sake of the world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we hear, Lord, let my heart be good soil.
Made children and heirs of God's promise, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. We pray for the church that is a safe haven for all those who seek your presence. Fill it with pastors, deacons, and leaders who echo your expansive and generous welcome. Lord, in your mercy, We pray for the world of creation, that plants and animals have the habitat and resources to thrive and flourish. Inspire us to protect threatened habitats and ensure a sustainable future for generations to come. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for individuals in position of authority. Raise up wise and discerning leaders in federal, state, and local governments, and guide them to seek the benefit of every person. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for all who are in need. Support and encourage those who are unemployed, underemployed, or experiencing poverty. Bring forth shelter, clothes, and stability for daily life. Lord, especially today, we pray for Dorothy Rexford, a particular friend of Joyce Wright who suffered a stroke, Harper Cataldo and family, the family of Donna Taylor, Pastor Don Dorsbacher, Joy Dorsbacher Turno, and family, Sarah Meyer Flatt, Lois Langolf's daughter-in-law, Colleen, Ray Shinosky, the family of Dale Michael Kane, Lori Carrier. Lord, also we pray for those we name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for this congregation, especially those beginning a new school year. Empower teachers and school administrators. Guide students in their learning and development. Accompany parents, foster parents, and caregivers who provide encouragement and love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, today also we pray for those under tyrannical rule, for those in Afghanistan, for our service members, for the families of our service members who sacrifice for freedom. Lord, be with them. And Lord, be with all nations, all people of the world who experience oppression, tyranny, all of the things that we in America fight against. Help us to be strong. Help us to keep up the fight in your name, Lord. Protect us all. We give thanks for the faithful departed who showed us how to honor God with our heart. Inspire us by their example and renew our faith, trusting that we will be united with them in glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Receive these prayers, O God, of those in our hearts known only to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
A few announcements this morning. One, I don't know if y'all have noticed, but we have new lighting here in the sanctuary. We have new LED lighting. We'd like to thank all those involved in making that happen. It makes a big difference here within the sanctuary. Also makes a pretty good difference on the radio, as the old lighting used to have a distant hum behind it. We don't have that anymore, so this is a wonderful thing. Also, I'd like to announce, we missed this last week. Pastor Don just celebrated 45 years of ordained ministry. That is a wonderful achievement, accomplishment. I know we've all benefited from it. I know I have in my family. countless of others too. So Pastor Don, congratulations. We thank you and we love you. And keep up the good fight. Pastor, to the best of my knowledge, is doing well, very well. And he had a post this morning and it just said, hey, temporary. I recall the words, his temporary disability. So he is looking to the future as well. So we love you, Pastor Don. Also, this is a hard one for me to bring up, everybody. And this is not in a condemning way. This is not anything negative. I've heard a few people mention to me, as have my wife, last week there were some things said here regarding vaccinated people, unvaccinated people. And I just want you all to know that no matter what your view on that is, you are welcome here. Your stance on vaccination is not a dependent factor on whether you're living a Christ-centered life, whether you're saved. There are many reasons that people want to be vaccinated, very good reasons. There are many reasons that people are leery and scared of being vaccinated, very good reasons. Vaccines should not be a cause of division. They can be a cause of talk and debate and exploration, but not one of whether you're a good Christian or not. So I just wanted to point that out so that everybody at home and within this congregation know that we do not have a vaccination test around here. We love and value all people and their opinions. So I wanted to bring that up as well. Does anybody else? Oh, also, I forgot to mention this morning at the beginning that this radio broadcast has been sponsored by the memory of Doug Abbott. If anyone has anything else to say or if I missed anyone. Okay, very good. Thank you.
We hear the offertory song, the doxology.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. It begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.